It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
I just saved the day, Matt McCarthy.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. I'll let you know right now, I'm in a mood. I barely slept. My back is killing me. Are you old, gross man? No, it's true. I've made a YouTube video about this before, an off-air show for the Felgren Mash Show. Gasper Murray again, 98.5 Sports Hub. We're both here. Two straight weeks. It's that doesn't happen much, but here we are again, Chris. Hi.
Even though you'd rather not be?
Well, I've made a video about this before. Like, I get the kind of back pain where every once in a while, like, I completely understand why people get, like, hooked on pills. It's just the worst. And so I'm dealing with that. At least the lights got fixed. Came in. Matt McCarthy, who's in with us as well. What's up, baseball boy?
Hi, how are you? Yeah, they showed me the secret spot for over a year now, Jim. They've said we have no control over the lights.
I knew I'd been being lied to about these effing lights.
And they've been BSing you the whole time because somebody here showed me. I don't think he was supposed to show me, but he showed me. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. And I kept that in the back of my mind because I knew we've had weekends where the lights have been left on. We actually have control.
Oh, they control them in Burlington, Murray. There's nothing we can do about them. I knew it's been a lie. I love you, Jay Stu, but I knew you've been lying to me about this. Why do you wear sunglasses during the Felgren Mash Show? Because the lights in here are like the sun, and they singe my eyeballs, and I get headaches. I know. I'm a big, stupid baby about it, but that's why I wear the sunglasses, in case you didn't know. And those effing lights were on here when I came in here today, and again, I'm in a mood, so I was insta-pissed. But McCarthy knows the secret now, and he turned them off. So, all right, I'm already in a little bit of a better mood.
I'm probably going to end up, like, in a ditch somewhere you're never going to see me after today.
Yeah, it's going to be Stu that does it to you.
I'm going to be buried under wherever the new Fenway Park is going to end up. That's where I'm going to end up. So, for you, Jim, I'm risking life and limb.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that very much. Well, now let's get back into a bad mood because I'm browned out, but we have to talk about Antonio Brown because, well, it's funny to me, Chris, because when we sat here literally at this time last week,
yeah,
we spent most of the show, or I spent most of the show, saying, like, no, I want no part of this guy. He had got released around 11:30 a week ago, so that happened during the show, and we all kind of had a laugh that, well, it didn't work with the Raiders again, and now they essentially get nothing in return for him. They ended up trading a third and a fifth round pick for him, and it didn't work out. He had the YouTube video a week ago Friday. I referred to him as a burden. He is like Livia Soprano. It's all about him. He's a hurricane of just me, and he's so self-absorbed, and I want nothing to do with this guy. We threw it out there like, oh, would you, the Patriots fan, be interested? Lord knows they probably wouldn't pick him up because he's such a burden and a hurricane of chaos. There's no way the Patriots would end up signing Antonio Brown, right? Right? Well, we get off the air at 2 o'clock. I go, I take my usual nap after the show. I wake up around 5 o'clock, and what do I see? Ah! They did it. They actually signed this guy. And we took calls for most of the day. I remember there was one older gentleman that said, I've been a Patriots season ticket holder for near 20, 30 years. If they sign this guy, I might have to rethink that. Have you heard from any of those people this week?
Boy, no.
Boy,
no.
After 5 o'clock last Saturday, oh, look, wouldn't you know, this place became Happy Valley. It really did. It's almost kind of nauseating, especially since this civil rape charge came out earlier in the week with Antonio Brown. This is insane. Like, you wanted no part of the guy. Now it's defend the wall. Bill Jong-un, the dear leader, whatever he does, he's infallible. We believe. How dare you mock this Antonio Brown signing? It's going to be perfect. Why do you guys have to be so negative about it? Everyone, it seemingly, is happy that Antonio Brown's a Patriot. It's the world's turned upside down in a matter of a week.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you nailed it. You know, I think the same people that were looking at this guy and saying that his self-absorbed, selfish actions and unreliability were really paramount in Pittsburgh and the biggest reason that the Patriots were better than the Steelers because they would never tolerate a guy like that. Bill would never put up with a guy like that. And then, oh, the Raiders, what a train wreck of a franchise. Look at that guy. Does he even want to play football? Now he's a Patriot, and it's like he got the Patriot pixie dust sprinkled on him, Jim. And it's like, oh, well, he's misunderstood. And, you know, these things aren't that bad. And this is definitely a money grab by this woman. It's just all justification, rationalization, laundry logic, which I hate. Nothing has changed with this guy except for now he's wearing preferred laundry, and that changes everything for some people, which is infuriating for me.
It is, and I guess, I don't know. I see how the world works nowadays, and we just get dumber by the day. I refer to it often on Twitter as the dumbest time to be alive in human history. So I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, but I don't know. Like, I feel like this is maybe the smartest and savviest sports area to work in the country.
Definitely.
You know, and like, people get it.
The most discerning fans.
Yes. And this,
except like, with the Patriots.
Well, yeah, it's banana land. Like, it's like Happy Valley with Penn State going back about 10 years ago in that horrific case. And people just look at this and like, ah, she's a liar. Like, it's a civil case. Ah, he should play anyway. It's about the wins here. It's the seventh championship. That's what we got to be focusing on. This is the hill you're going to die on? Antonio Brown, of all guys, of all players? Look at the track record. Look at the recent track record. This guy? Ugh. And besides any of his transgressions and how he is as a person and a player and how he's, you know, helped to just undermine everything that went on there with the Pittsburgh Steelers towards the end of last year in the 100-plus days he spent with the Oakland Raiders, and already here, and he has this civil rape charge against him, and it's already feeling problematic. Do they even need him? Look at last Sunday. Now, at this point, that game feels like 3 months ago.
I know.
But the opening game at home against his former team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I was concerned about the wide receivers going into this year. After that, I looked at that saying, they don't even need this guy. They look great.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. Obviously, they made the move this week to move on from Demaryius Thomas. They traded him to the Jets. I think the thing is, you look at it and you have Josh Gordon here, and Josh Gordon seems to be in great shape and great frame of mind. And, you know, like I've always said, you root for the guy. Like, I hope this is the time. I hope this is the time he kicks it. But history is what it is. And so are you going to have him all season? So he's a big reason that wide receiving core looks pretty great right now. But again, do you want to is the backup plan the handcuff to have one unreliable guy backed up by another unreliable guy whose issues to me are worse in that he brings them upon himself, you know? Like, Josh Gordon is dealing with something that a lot of people deal with that really is out of his control that he's trying to control, which is addiction. The issues with Antonio Brown, this is a guy, and again, innocent till proven guilty. So I felt this way before the civil sexual assault lawsuit. I just felt this is someone who's not reliable for you. But he brings these things upon himself. This is someone who consistently makes bad choices. And people who consistently make bad choices put themselves in bad situations. And so I do not think that it is just, you know, coincidence that he is now facing this civil lawsuit.
No, me either, Chris. And I'm sure you know people like this. We all know people like this in our personal lives. There's the hurricanes of chaos. They're people that are always around problems because they themselves are problematic, and they invite that kind of thing into their life time and time and time and time again. And many times in cases like Antonio Brown, that person will sometimes say, well, it's not me. I don't know why. I don't understand why this keeps happening to me. No. It's you. You're the problem. You have problem people in your lives. You invite those kind of problems in your lives, and they're just going to continue to happen. Now, are there some holes in this civil lawsuit? It feels that way.
Yes.
And I can understand why his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, calls it a money grab, as somewhat distasteful as that is to refer to that on national television and in the public. But he's his agent, and
he's a
defend your client.
He's a paid mouthpiece.
Understandable. So are there holes there? Yes, probably. And again, it's not a criminal case. It's a civil case. Still, I mean, what, 48 hours since they signed him and you have that? So when the Patriots say, I think it was either Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter referred to the Patriots being blindsided by this, I do think that there's an element of truth to that. I just think it's blindsided by the timing. I have to believe that Belichick, that at least Bill Belichick knew. I'm taking Drew Rosenhaus at his word when he said earlier in the week, we knew this was coming. You had to. And I have to think, I hope that Belichick and the Patriots knew that this was going to be looming. I just think they were probably blindsided by the timing of it. Hey, we signed this guy. Bang. Within like a day or two, this is on us. Ah, like that can't feel good for them as a franchise.
No, I mean, it can't. And the thing I would say is like, you know, okay, did Drew Rose, how was it presented? Because it's all about how it's presented. Did Drew Rosenhaus present it as, hey, you know, Bill, just so you know, we've been in negotiations with this woman who's making these allegations against Antonio, but we're in negotiations and we're going to have a settlement here. So, you know, just be aware there's probably going to be the settlement with this thing. Is that what Bill's thinking? And then all of a sudden it's, you know, a civil lawsuit. Like, how was it presented? I have a hard time believing it was presented in full by Drew Rosenhaus in the manner that it's unfolded.
Do you think that ownership knew? Like that it was that,
no,
that you know, look at that, how that chain is. It goes from Rosenhaus to Bill and then Bill to ownership. Do you think that Bill was like, eh, there could be something, we'll deal with that later?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he, you know, look, I think he informed them. But again, to what degree? Hey, you know, there's this thing, but it's going to get settled. You know, completely erroneous. You know, you look at these allegations here. You know, I'm comfortable with them. You know, we vetted them. You know, it's one of those things. Again, you put the best possible face on it. Do I think he sort of went in? You know, again, I think it's like a game of telephone. You know, he's getting one version from Rosenhaus that's cleaned up, and then he cleans that version up a little more and relays it to the Crafts. That's what I think happened.
Should ownership say something? We're now days removed from this story breaking.
Yeah.
He is, you know, he's been practicing, feels like he is going to play. At the very least, should Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, ownership as a whole say something here leading into tomorrow's game? Or is it just too late at this point?
I mean, I think they put the statement out, you know, and I think at this point, they're just going to stand on that statement. I mean, what else are they really going to say unless they're going to say, I would say this, unless they're going to come in and say, we're not comfortable playing him, don't say anything. Because what at this point, I think the actions speak louder than the words, which is, we're still going to play him. So I don't think there's anything they can really gain by saying anything else unless they're going to come out and say, you know, until this is, you know, where we feel comfortable enough with it, or until we find out a little more about it, or until we do our own investigation, or until the league does its initial investigation, we're not going to play. Unless they're going to say any of that, what's the point of them coming out and saying anything? Because I think what they're not saying and what they're doing, which is getting ready to play him, speaks volumes.
Yeah, I said it with Felger and Mass throughout the week. Look, I said, if you listened to this show last week, I was adamant. I don't want anything with this guy. Not only here, I said I didn't care if I ever watched him play another snap in the NFL. And now he's here? So I get it. Like the laundry logic, as you refer to it as.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing. None of you could be surprised. Because whether it was a DUI or a B&E or a fight at a nightclub or this civil rape charge, something was going to happen with this guy. It's all a matter of time. If you watched what's happened to him and how his career has devolved both on and off the field over the last year and a half, I mean, oh, the stats, he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. Sure, you can make that case, although I would take DeAndre Hopkins over him. You knew it was all a matter of time. Something was going to happen with this guy. And now he's here with the Patriots. But seemingly, you're fine with that. Nah, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. It's just a civil case. She's lying, blah, 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 blah. I can't believe you people. I really, shame, boo, boo. I want them to win. But with this guy, ugh.
The slogan should be, hold your nose for seven, because that's what it is.
I should make those shirts, too.
You should make those
shirts.
Lord
knows I'm too lazy to even do that. All right, let's hear from you on this. Antonio Brown, as if we haven't beaten this dead horse enough, but you know, people want to talk about it, and I get it. And there's many out there that feel like he shouldn't play. I'm not one of those. I'll explain why. Coming back here with your calls at 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
He's a team destroyer.
He is viewed as a team cancer, as being disrespectful, and as being disloyal. He is the kind of player I would never, ever want to play for. I would not want him on the team. I do not like people like this.
Here's a guy, all the attention needs to be on him. Can he play on a team where it's about unselfish winning?
I just don't like bad behavior being rewarded.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So that's the NFL on Fox panel. Howie Long, Terry Bradshaw, Michael Strahan, Jimmy Johnson talking about the bad guy, a.k.a. Antonio Brown.
That's rich from Jimmy Johnson with the ship he ran in Miami.
Right?
And what was happening in Dallas. I don't like bad behavior being rewarded. Get out of here with that. Oh, please.
So Michael Irvin.
Now I'm pissed.
Michael Irvin during a haircut, you know, took scissors and like threatened another player or something like that. Like those early 90s Cowboys were the you know, the pinnacle of bad
behavior.
Did you
ever see the college football movie, The Program?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fairy tale compared to what was happening at Miami when Jimmy Johnson was down there. Give me a break.
Yeah, so, and what Brown has done, it pales in comparison to some of the stuff that was going on, especially off the field with those early 90s Cowboys teams. But he is problematic and now has this this civil rape charge that has been filed against him. And I think some of the bigger talk about Brown nationally leading into Sunday's game is, well, should he play? Should the NFL step in? And I say no. Like, this being a civil charge, even though it is obviously a rape charge, and that in and of itself, as we know, obviously horrible. But that would set a bad precedent in terms of the players in the league and any civil case against any player. So what? If he's going to get suspended a game for this or they hold him out, well, now that opens up a can of worms for anyone that has a civil case against them. So that would be extremely problematic. You would have, that would be a big brawl between the NFLPA and the NFL, so they can't do it. It would go down that slippery slope, you know, to use that old term. But, he should play. And in terms of the Patriots, well, I mean, unless the league is going to step in, it's a civil charge, same thing. Like, if you want him to speak, I get it, the team, I'm saying. And you want him to put out another statement or, I don't know, own up to this, the fact that they signed this guy. Like, I get it, but he should play. Like, I get it. Like, if you hold him back. The other thing, too, is if you're now going to, you know, go out on a limb and sign this guy and you're going to try to win your seventh championship and adding him to this team as good as they looked in week one, I do actually believe, and I'm never this guy, that 19-0 probably could be on the table. Because Chris, everyone else in the league stinks.
That is the most shocking thing.
I know.
Happened today on the show. You despise the idea of 19-0.
I know, but they looked so good in week one, what I thought was against, you know, really good competition. And
what kind of medicine do you want for that back?
No, nothing. I wish I was, so I wasn't in so much pain. No, Chris, they look so good, and the rest of the league looks like such crap. I could actually see it happening. And so, you know, I just... If you're going to now ride with this guy, it's ride or die, and you can't sit him and have him become a problem in your house now. Like, this is why when he puts out the Instagram video the other night when he's at the TB12 Scientology Center, like, I wouldn't think that kind of thing would happen. And typically you don't see that kind of stuff, a long-winded video. Okay, Brady does his, like, Tom versus Time thing and those kind of things. But, like, these kind of behind-the-scenes things, you typically don't see them all that much from Patriots players. Everything is, it's Bill's way or the highway. You have to give him a little bit of rope to be Antonio Brown if you want to have him play at his best and not be a problem in your house. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you were to sit him as the team on Sunday, well, guess what? Now you're going to have an issue with him and the team. If you're going to tell him to stop using social media as much as he does, you're going to have a problem with him and other players.
They know what
and
they're getting
into. Yeah, so you got to let him, unfortunately, be him. So if you were to sit him, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, but I think here's the thing. I think you could sit him not under the guise of the civil suit and just say, well, you know, he doesn't know enough of the offense. I mean, I think there's ways you can kind of thread the needle and finesse it and not have him play until you have a little more information or until this woman, Brittany Taylor, meets with the NFL next week. I mean, I think there's some stuff that you... I mean, do they need him on Sunday to beat the Miami Dolphins?
No.
How long has he been here? What percentage of the offense do you think he knows? Is it going to be like Kenny Britt, where it's just back shoulder fades and slants? You know, I think there's a way that you could sort of... Bill could come out and just say, had nothing to do with, the statements that were made this week. We just did not feel we were putting him in the best position to succeed. Bill already came out this week and said that, you know, he has to get up to speed on the offense. So, I mean, that's the way I would do it. But they're not going to do it that way. Bill's not going to do it that way either, because this is a giant middle finger to the rest of the league and everybody else. He's going to throw this guy out there. And they'll probably target him 12 times like they did Josh Gordon last year against Tennessee, just to prove a point that, you know, he doesn't really care, that Bill doesn't really care. I've said this before. You know what the motto of the Patriots should be? It shouldn't be do your job. It should be we'll take him. You know, I mean, if the guy's talented enough, they'll take him. They'll play him. The rest of it, he doesn't care about. It's all about talent. The other stuff, the morality of it, all that, he doesn't care. And by the way, he's not the only coach in the NFL who's that way. This is not a Bill Belichick thing. This is the way these coaches in the NFL are wired. Look at Andy Reid in Kansas City. You think he's not looking the other way for stuff with Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill? These guys are wired to compartmentalize. Can you help me win football games? Okay, that is all I care about during football season. Now you catch me outside of football season, I am a human being. I'm concerned about these other things that other human beings are concerned about. But during football season, when I need to win, they compartmentalize this stuff and they put it in the background. It's like not an issue. They don't care.
So that being said, though, do you think that this sets a bad precedent for Bill and other coaches and GMs throughout the league, specifically Mike Mayock, who has carried water for him before, believe me, with first-round arm talent with Ryan Mallett. Great quarterback. Make sure you draft him, Bill. He talks like Sylvester the Cat's son, for those that haven't really paid attention. I know it's mean, but I can't help myself.
It's mean.
Does that maybe fracture that kind of relationship? Because
do you think
look,
Bill cares? Do you think, first of all, Bill's kind of like the Don, Jim. It's like, you know, he's just kind of going to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, but then that's
like
when Vladimir Putin
took, it's like when Vladimir Putin took Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do about it? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the same thing with Bill and Mayock. It's like, hey, we're friends. Hey, I'm sorry it didn't work out for you, but now I'm going to take this guy and win a Super Bowl. You got a problem with it? No, Mayock's, you know, it's better. It's like any leader, right? It's better to be feared than loved.
Yeah,
and Bill is these guys that are attendants of Bill, deep down inside, they fear him.
He told me to go through my thing. Frank the Tank, you're first up here on Gasper Murray this morning. Hey, Frank.
Hey, boys. What's going on?
What's up?
None. Look, in light of this being Friday the 13th weekend and everything, we all know that Jason Voorhees is a great outdoorsman, but you're not going to ask him to take you on the Appalachian Trail. Okay, so, you know, I understand that Antonio Brown is talented. He's a great wide receiver. I was not in favor of this move. I was not. I thought that what the Patriots had was enough. So maybe the Patriots are looking at it as the same principle as a condom. I'd rather have one and not need it than need one and not have one. So I understand, like, you know, you want the best. You want to win. You want to just send the rest of the league to their ultimate destruction. But this guy, you know, and I understand that society back in the day was different. No social media. Athletes got away with a lot of things. But, I've said this to you guys before. It never ceases to amaze me how just dumb and idiotic some of these guys are. All that money, all that talent. You've been handed a lottery ticket, and you do everything in your power because you think you're above everybody else to just throw it away. Innocent until proven guilty. Yes, I am all for that with everybody. But this is just a bad, bad dude. And if he plays ball and they win, fine, I'm going to cheer. But after that, don't give this guy a second contract. We don't need this headache.
Thanks for the call, Frank. So going forward, say they win the seventh Super Bowl, even if it's not 19-0, whatever, they get another championship. Do you think he's here going forward, or is this just kind of
no,
a one-year rental?
No,
rehab the image, and he gets paid somewhere
else.
Yeah,
it's sort of, you know, rehabilitation of the reputation, and he's going to set himself up. I think in a lot of ways, you know, look, Antonio Brown is his own guy with his own issues, but there's been comparisons to Randy Moss. Bill Belichick had one. He evoked Moss this week. When asked about Brown and why he thought it would work. But to me, this is a combination of Moss and Revis. And really, I think it's closer to Revis from a football standpoint in that you're renting this guy for a year at a reduced rate, and you're hoping that it's mutually beneficial. You win with him. He reestablishes his value and gets paid. I cannot envision a scenario where this guy is here beyond this year. And you just look at the way the contract is constructed. I mean, they're not going to pick up the back half of that contract and that option. So this is a lot like the Revis rental. It's very similar in that regard from a football standpoint. What's different is you didn't have Revis showing up here with all the baggage that Antonio Brown has. And when he first came here, Jim, it was just sports baggage, right, that you deal with.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy's a bad teammate. He's disruptive. He's self-centered. He's never happy. That's sports baggage. I don't like that stuff. We talk about that stuff. It makes him a bad teammate. But, you know, in the grand scheme of life, it's not that important. Now he has real-world baggage, which is a civil suit and a rape allegation. And so when you put those things together, it's like, is this guy really worth it? Is he worth the trouble.
Well, I want to know your thoughts on who actually wanted him. Is it Bill or is it Brady? We'll get to that and your phone calls at 617-779-0985 on, guess what, the topic of the week, Antonio Brown. Because a week ago today, I guess it was right around now, he has been cut from the Raiders. Oh, what idiot team is going to end up signing him? Oh, who wants that troublemaker? Oh, it was the Patriots. Hours later, I texted you, Chris, and everyone else. I was like, oh, F. Oh, come on. Boo, boo. And here he is with all the baggage that comes with him. So your thoughts. You happy about it? 617-779-0985. Your calls right after this. You were the Sports Hub headlines of Matt McCarthy on Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Dedicated player, one of the hardest working guys in the league. He's coming here every day doing the same thing. I mean, you know, he's lived up to the great Antonio Brown name. He's one of the best in the league, so I think we expect that from him to continue, and he's, I think, expects it of himself, so it's a great addition. We're glad to have him.
I think he's doing well. I mean, the dude's absolute stud. He's a really good football player, and I think he raises the level, you know, for everyone out there because of how good of a player he is and how hard he works.
Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, talking about fellow wide receiver and new teammate Antonio Brown. Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub, this ahead of tomorrow's game against the Miami Dolphins in Miami, which I feel like has been an afterthought, which is understandable considering how bad Miami got waxed and the problems going on there. We'll find out more about what's going on with the Dolphins in the next hour. But we're talking about Antonio Brown today. His teammates aren't happy he's there. But just before we go back to the phones, though, Chris, like, who ultimately you think really wanted him? Is this about Belichick and just assuring he has the best team possible to win that seventh championship? Maybe even, you know, go for immortality in 19-0? Or is this about Brady, who will be a free agent, truly, for the first time in his career at the end of this league year? And maybe, it's not just about the championship, but it's about his longevity as well, because that helps benefit his brand, the TB12, and all of that. And he has the new one on Boylston Street, of course. So he, with Antonio Brown, that offers him better opportunity to have an MVP-type season, put up ridiculous stats, and to get paid, maybe, either here or from another team elsewhere in the league, $35, $40 million guaranteed for a couple of years. Is that part of it? Who wanted him more? Was it Brady or Belichick?
I mean, I still would go with Bill. I mean, I think, look, Bill ultimately makes the decisions there when it comes to who's on the roster. There's a lot of times in the past that Tom has wanted better wide receivers or a particular wide receiver. Did Bill oblige? No. So I think this is a guy that Bill looks at. He really appreciates the talent. He's enamored of the talent. He wanted him. The Patriots were in on him back in the spring, and the Steelers didn't want to move him to an AFC North rival or to the Patriots. So I think that this is driven by Bill. I don't think this is Tom going to Bill and saying, you need to get me better receivers. Now, I think Tom likes it, right? I mean, here's a super talented receiver, and you look at an area of potential weakness for the team, and it's a significant upgrade, and that certainly can help you. If Antonio Brown has his head screwed on right and puts up the numbers he's put up in the past, then it could make Tom's job easier in a lot of ways. I think it'll make it harder in some because he's a guy that needs the ball, that wants to be fed the ball. He's not really going to buy into the Patriots philosophy of who's the best receiver, the open receiver. But I still think this is driven by Belichick. And just look at the history of it. I mean, guys he's brought in because he really values the talent. And also, you know, this is a guy who coached Lawrence Taylor. Like, he recognizes sort of transcendent generational talent, and he's shown that he's willing to look the other way to be able to utilize that for his own purposes.
Is he that, though? Like, I mean, eyeball test alone, yes, he's one of the top receivers in the game, at least to me. But now there's been these guys, these beat people that have covered the Pittsburgh Steelers for a while that have had their columns saying that he isn't as precise a route runner as has been perceived before, and he freelances a lot. Now, granted, that could, you got to take that with a grain of salt, because that could just be sour grapes on behalf of those that have covered that team and just didn't like him. But I don't know, like, you follow it a little bit better. Maybe you've watched some of the game tape. Like, I don't know. Has he been overrated?
No, I mean, I think he's a great talent. You know, in terms of, like, you know, does he freelance a little bit? Yeah, I'm sure there are times that he has looked at it and said, okay, I know what the play call is here. It's this, but I've been setting this corner up the whole game. I'm going to run that, which is not ideal. And you see the relationship he had with Roethlisberger. And I think there's also times where his effort is questionable, to be honest. I think, you know, he sort of sometimes gets in a mode where it's like he plays when he wants to play. He runs the route hard. Like, he's one of those guys where I feel like you can tell whether he thinks he's getting the ball or not when he runs the route. If he doesn't think he's getting the ball, it's not much of a route. If he does, then it's, I think it's a route that's run very well.
All right, let's go to the call. 617-779-0985. As soon as someone drops off, you can get on with us talking about Antonio Brown. Greg in New Hampshire, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hey, Greg.
How are you?
Good, what's up?
So what I wanted to talk about was Brady's contract, right? And then Antonio Brown. So Brady's contract, I feel like it was a 1 year. It wasn't because they wanted to do him dirty. I think it was because if he wins this year, he's going to, you know, retire. He needs that seventh Super Bowl, and his wife makes more money than him. And then second, with Antonio Brown, this guy's never been, you know, a clown until up until recent. And
what do you mean by that? You're saying he wasn't a clown until Oakland?
He wasn't like a controversial person until he went to Oakland. And then he goes to Oakland.
That's not true.
All right, I'm going to let you go on that. Know the timeline. Because look at the end of last year in December and how it went with the Pittsburgh Steelers and some of the stuff off the field there as well. It's been like a year and a half of bad behavior with this guy, undermining his team and teammates and the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I understand what he's saying to a degree. And I think, if anything, that shows you it wasn't that he was not behaving in the manner he behaved in Oakland. It was that Pittsburgh kept a pretty good lid on it. And now all that stuff's coming out. Look, you know, just look and listen to the stuff coming out of Pittsburgh. Now, I mean, this guy has consistently been a disruptive force. It's just that we didn't know as much about it. But even, I mean, he's saying he wasn't a controversial guy. What about before the, you know, 2016 season AFC Championship game when he's doing Facebook Live in the locker room when Tomlin's making the comments about the, I mean, you know, they've had their issues. What about some of the sideline tirades that he's thrown? He's had issues before. I'm not saying he's the worst guy in the world. That's not what I'm saying. But again, this is what's frustrating to me, Jim. Now it's like a complete rewrite because he's a Patriot. So he wasn't a problem for anybody.
No, he's just misunderstood. That's all.
But he wasn't a problem until he got to Oakland. And I feel like the biggest thing that some people are overlooking, especially when we get to comparisons to guys like Dylan and Moss, Antonio Brown was mostly on winning teams. Like, I looked this up. First of all, his rookie year, he played on a Super Bowl team. 6 of the 9 years he was there, the team won double-digit games. You know, some of those other guys like Moss, the two seasons before he got here, he was on teams that were 4-12 and 2-14. We know what the Bengals have been like, one of the flagships of futility under the Brown family in Cincinnati. And that's the difference. And that's the bigger red flag for me, is like, here's a guy that was in a situation with a contender year after year, and it still wasn't enough to him. And what has normally sort of quote-unquote, air quotes, fixed guys when they've come to the Patriots is that, oh, I can win, then I'm going to be on my best behavior. But here's a guy who's been in situations where he had an opportunity to win, and it still wasn't enough because it was all about him and his numbers.
Patrick and Quincy on AB. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hey.
Hey, Murray. I called last week. I was just worried he was going to go to the Chiefs, and can't believe how much stuff is changed. My question to you guys is, I think Sony Michel playing pretty bad last week. I think they're going to focus on him and focus on the running game. Could things start bad this week in Miami if he just gets like one or two targets? I'll hang up and listen. Have a good Saturday.
I mean, even if they start slow tomorrow, is it really going to matter? About the only thing that could go wrong for them is not covering the spread, which is, what, 18.5 the last I checked, or like 19 points or something like that. It's the second largest for a road team in NFL history.
They are 1-5 in their last six visits there, though, and Bill lost to both disciples last year, and Ryan Fitzpatrick every once in a while, you know, he goes out there and plays like Joe Montana.
I guess. I don't know. They're just, I mean, you have those guys. There was the reports after last week's waxing by the Baltimore Ravens that you have multiple players calling their agents, probably not even out of their uniforms yet, saying, get me the hell off this sinking ship.
Which, like, is interesting if you really think about it, too. Again, here's NFL players playing in Miami saying, get me out of here.
Yeah.
How bad right. Must it be, right?
All right, more of your calls coming up. And I just want some quick thoughts on what you saw in last week's game, Chris, because we haven't even talked about that enough. Like, they completely shellacked the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. It already looked like, you know, middle of November for the Patriots. So I want some thoughts. And one open line you want to join us, 617-779-0985. Gaspar Murray, our long commercial-free segment, coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gaspar and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Gaspar and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Patriots win the season opener by a 33-3 final. Brady throws three touchdown passes, and the Pats dominate here at Gillette as they take the first step in 2019 after celebrating the final step of 2018.
That now feels like 3 months ago. The Patriots season opener at home last Sunday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It goes to show you yet again what the hell I know. I figured this would be a close game. Typically, as you know, first month of any NFL season, defenses ahead of the offenses. The Steelers, even though they've, you know, time and time again come here and lost when it's been, Steelers and Roethlisberger against Brady. Granted, they had that 2008 ass kicking, but that was the stupid Matt Castle year. I expected it to be a closer game. I really did. This thing was a complete shellacking, Chris. The ineptitude of the Steelers offense was really something. And my bigger takeaway with them as a whole is, they got myriad problems there. They're poorly coached. There was times in that game, I mean, the fourth and one, you're at the goal line, you kick the field goal. They're dumb and meek as a team. But that said, outside of Juju Smith-Schuster, Roethlisberger really has nothing in terms of talent around him now. Who is that?
Dante Moncrief. Dante Moncrief, yeah. Had a horrendous game.
Frying pans for hands over there. Even like, they got nothing.
He was targeted 10 times. He had 3 catches for 7 yards. Oh, Dante Moncrief.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad.
It was that bad.
Oh, wow.
It was that bad.
Oh.
But, you know, credit to the Patriots defense. They're flying all over the place. I mean, that is just that's just what you saw during the preseason as well. I mean, and even you read about this from guys like Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, who said this is as stacked and deep as they are, at least on that side of the ball, since 2014.
Yeah.
And now I really believe it. And guys like that look real energized, too, like Dante Hightower, who obviously had a great postseason last year.
Jamie Collins looked good.
Yeah. Hightower, though, for most of the season, especially early, looked like, is there an injury issue or something there? Like, he looked like he was shot out of a cannon. So, I don't know. It looked like, mid-November for the Pats in week one. So, that's one of the reasons. And, again, looking at the landscape of the league, too. Like, hey, you know, I'm not typically that guy, but if you want to talk unbeaten, go right ahead. I wouldn't blame you. But who else stood out to you and some other takeaways? And Brady as a whole, how do you think his night was?
Yeah, I thought Brady was good.
Off a little wonky.
Yeah, I mean, there were some throws that he missed. I think he'd like to have back a touchdown he missed when they had Philip Dorsett lined up in the backfield. And Dorsett kind of lined up in the backfield and came out on the right side and was wide open. And instead, Brady threw to the left, tried to throw to Burkhead. But I thought it was interesting to watch the offense, just how adept they are at morphing into what they need to be based on their talent. It's like the tight end position was a complete non-factor. You saw a lot of the 2 running back, 3 wide receiver formation, and they created mismatches for the wide receivers and mismatches for the running backs. I thought Pittsburgh's safety play was horrendous between Cameron Kelly and Terrell Edmonds, and the Patriots knew that. I think they had scouted that going into that game, and they took advantage of it. You know, both Edmonds and Kelly, and the touchdown that Dorsett scored, Edmonds and Kelly couldn't figure out who was supposed to cover him, basically. And so I thought it was a great game plan by Josh McDaniels. I thought the execution was pretty good. Defensively, like you said, they look incredible. What they were able to do, 3 of 12 on third down for Pittsburgh. And they didn't really do what I thought they were going to do, which was double Smith-Schuster. They just sort of put Stephon Gilmore on him. And sometimes there was maybe a safety nearby, but it's like they just took him completely out of the game, really. So a very impressive performance for the Patriots. I mean, they just look like a very balanced, deep team capable of winning in multiple ways. And those are the best Patriots teams, the ones that can morph into whatever team they need to be that week to win. And they already look like that type of team, and that's without Antonio Brown.
And speaking of which, Howard and Randolph wants to talk about AB. You're next here on Gasper and Murray. Hey, Howard.
Hey, Jim and Chris. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Great show, as usual. My question is basically, I'm not sure if he did or he didn't do what she said, but my question is on her motive. Why didn't she have him, charge him with the police instead of just looking for money? I mean, everyone has their price, I guess, but it seems something kind of off the wall here.
Understandable, but yeah. I'm also not going to try to put myself in the shoes of a rape victim and the shame that can also obviously be associated with that. So I don't know. The point being for me is, Chris, it doesn't matter what the charge is or what's going on with him, whether it's selling dime bags, huffing paint, doing 50 in a 25, running guns to Cuba. Whatever it is, something was going to happen with this guy. It was all a matter of time. Look at his track record over the last couple of years. That's why I didn't want him. He's a problem. Extremely talented, but based on last Sunday's game, looks like you don't need him, even though I was worried about the wide receiver core. And just with everything that comes with him, all that baggage, Why would you do this to yourself?
Because he's that talented. And that's the calculus, you know, disruption versus production. And he's been, you know, probably the most productive wide receiver in the NFL over the last 6 or 7 seasons. You're looking at, what's it, 6 straight seasons of 1,000 yards and 100 catches. He led the NFL in touchdown receptions last year. The guy is a royal pain in the butt, but he produces. And I think that's what the Patriots are looking at. They're looking at the production. Bill's looking at the production and saying, this guy's one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the NFL. And I've said this yesterday on Felger and Mass. This is not about embracing Antonio Brown. This is about tolerating him. They think they can tolerate him for a year, extract his talent, use it, and then move on. Because that's what this is about. You know, they're going to tolerate this guy, not embrace him. I don't care what they say, what guys say after practice about he's a pro and he elevates the level. And also, he is a hard worker. He's always been a hard worker on the field. That's not the issue. But they're going to have to tolerate this guy and his antics and his personality in pursuit of number 7.
Well, you know what speaks to that is Matthew Slater's comments about him when he was at his locker and asked about him in this charge earlier in the week. And Matthew Slater, who's obviously one of the more well-spoken and thoughtful players on this team, was pretty stern, and I thought it was very telling when he said, we don't know this guy. Like, almost already separating he and these other guys on the team that are like, like you said, we'll tolerate him, but we don't know him. He's not one of us. He's not part of this family. Guys like myself and Devin McCourty who have been here all this time, we don't know him. I thought that was a real tell there. And good. That's the stance that some of these guys should have. Frank in New Hampshire on last week's game. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention the last 9 minutes or so of Sunday's game. I mean, did anybody think that the play calling was kind of wonky at the end of that game?
How many times they kept throwing, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, they should have just run the ball. I mean, the game was very well out of hand for the Steelers. I mean, I don't understand why they just didn't run it down their throats and get out of there. I mean, a left tackle went down with an injury, and then Brady took a hit. Right tackle, I'm sorry. And, I mean, I just want to know what was going through Josh McDaniels' mind at the end of that game.
And maybe that's the man above him in Belichick. Frank, I'm with you. If there was one thing that really bugged me about the game, it was how it ended. And that's why Cannon got hurt, because he kept throwing the ball. Like, just run it. Eat the clock. Let's get the hell out of here. The game was well in hand. Why do you think that they kept throwing?
Didn't Cannon get hurt on a run?
I thought it was a pass play, but
was it a pass play? I thought he was, maybe it was, but it was like something where he was like pulling out there in front and he got his legs taken out from underneath him. I mean, they tried to run. Sony Michel ran 15 times for 14 yards. I mean, they just had a little bit of a difficult time, I think, getting traction in the run game, which I don't think was completely unexpected given the fact that Ted Karras is in there in lieu of David Andrews. And it just takes a little bit of time to get the chemistry going. They tried to run. It just wasn't effective. And so, you know, you want to sort of keep the ball, keep moving it. And my only thing was like, oh, I thought they were going to pull Brady a little, you know, sooner in the game, just pull him out of that game. But the other part of that, too, is like, okay, if you pull him and you know Stidham's behind him, like, does he lose his mind? Like, is he already thinking, like, are they plotting to get rid of me? You know, so luckily he obviously didn't get hurt. But they just really weren't that effective running it with their running package. Now, Burkhead was effective, James White, but Sony Michel, they just couldn't get him going.
All right, we'll take more of your calls on Antonio Brown, and obviously a lot of you still want to talk about it because we've got full phone lines. As soon as someone jumps off, you can get on with us at 617-779-0985. Write to your calls right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Math McCarthy. Give us the math boy.
Yeah, no, that's not me. I was told there would be no math humor.
We work in radio for a reason. All right, he'll give you the update here and then write to you here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.